Thank you for joining me today. This is Mindy McNeil, and I am joined in studio by Stephen Blatt. He is the executive director for Bringing Music to Life. And it's that time of year. It's the instrument drive, Stephen, and it's going to start on March 2nd and go until, I think, March 15th. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Again,
I know.
Yeah, it's great.
It's your 10th year doing this, but second time with me doing the interview with you. So I need to be part of more of that annual tradition of you guys more and more. And so, but I want to talk just about a few different things because different locations. I know we talked last year, different locations throughout the, all the way up to Fort Collins, and we've got the metro area going on. But can you give us a little, for those who didn't catch it last year, can you scoop some of our listeners as to what the instrument drive is all about?
Sure. What we do is collect donated instruments, band and orchestra instruments, and repair them, and then award them to underfunded music programs throughout Colorado, of which there are plenty. And to date, we've given away about 5,000 instruments to 230 schools all over the state, Western Slope, Front Range, all the way from Fort Collins down to Pueblo and out in the plains as well. And it's been a great help for kids that otherwise wouldn't be able to take part in music classes. They just don't have the money to rent or buy, but now they have access to instruments.
Okay, and you know what? And that's so funny because I was reading and I'm like, how? Because it's 5,000 instruments, but there's more than 15,000 children. And I was like, how does that happen? How are you splitting the baby? But then I get it. They're being donated to the schools, and then the children who are in the programs get to.
You bet. And as long as a boy or girl is enrolled in the school, they can treat it as their own instrument. Take care of it, take it home, practice, play it at school. When they graduate, it's handed off to another student. And that way, one instrument can benefit 5, 6, 8 kids over its lifetime. The other thing we ask schools is if they have a repair budget after they receive it. When they get it, it's in excellent condition. That's something we commit to, that every instrument we hand out is in excellent playable condition. But then it becomes the property of the school, and they need to take care of it after that.
Okay, and the thing is that I know we were talking about donating instruments and different things, and people can make actual monetary donations as well.
Oh, yes, they can. Yes.
Money is always accepted.
That's how we repair them. That's the biggest cost we have every year, is repairing the instruments to make sure they're in great shape. Because, you know, little kids that are starting out, they don't know if it's them or the instrument, and they blame themselves if it's not working right. And the last thing we want is for them to get frustrated and quit. So we make sure that when we put it in their hands, or the school puts it in their hands, it's in excellent playable condition, and we'll reward their effort.
There is a cost with repairs, and I was reading somewhere that you had said that it's around $155 is an average cost to
you
do
bet.
A repair.
And that's even with a generous discount that we get from our repair partners. I mean, instruments are expensive, and that's one of the reasons this is a great need in the schools. They just don't have the budget to buy new instruments. And these instruments go to them at no charge. We never charge a school anything for the instruments we award to them. But the repairs and every single instrument we get, even if it looks to be fairly new, they all need repairs. The pads have to be replaced, the corks, new strings on the string instruments. You know, there are some expensive repairs, and it averages out to be about $155 per instrument.
Okay, and now as far as doing the repairs, you have some technicians over the Colorado Institute of Musical Instrument Technology and Boomer Music Company out in Fort Collins. So they were kind enough to do the repairs for you all. Is that correct?
Yeah. CELMIT, which is the short way of saying the Colorado Institute of Musical Instrument Technology, has been with us now. This will be their 9th year in a row,
okay.
And they've been great, and they've done it at a deep discount. Boomer, which is a donation location in Fort Collins as well, beginning last year, started doing repairs for us as well. So the instruments that are donated in the northern part of the state from, say, Loveland, Greeley, Fort Collins, will go up to them, and they'll take care of those.
Now, I'd like to circle back just for a second, because you were talking about the children and, you know, if they, you know, are practicing and they and something's wrong with the instrument, they feel like it's them and not the instrument themselves. And so my question on something like that is because there have you had made a comment as well that it was saying that about studies show about the positive impact of music. And, it, you know, a couple things is that it improves their listening skills, creative thinking, self-esteem, and self-discipline. Could you go into a little bit more than that? Because I think, and the reason I'm asking this too is because, and I love both. I love the arts and I love sports, but I feel like we are so geared to, oh, it's sports. Sports is the thing. And I feel like the arts, you know, if I sing or if I play an instrument, we are, you know, that group is overlooked. And so to hear that, okay, I can play an instrument, you know, and I can, you know, build my self-esteem and it can teach me to be more disciplined. So could you elaborate more?
Absolutely. It's not an either or thing. I mean, I did both. I played sports and I played music, and a number of kids do. They're not mutually exclusive. The thing that's great about music is that you learn how to listen. You learn about teamwork, as you would on a sports team. But in music, nobody rides the bench, you know? Everybody's playing. And that's one of the differences. And I'm not going to try to distinguish between music and sports. I think they're both valuable. Self-discipline involved in both. Perseverance, learning that if you stick with it, good things can happen, and that's a life skill. These, we really think of the instrument drive as developing life skills for kids. We're enhancing their lives for the future, not just in music classes. And we find that the kids that do well in music, that stay with it, have life skills that they can apply in other classes. They become more confident. They're willing to take the positive kind of risks, you know, getting up in front of people and playing an instrument. That's a risk, you know. That takes some guts. It takes some confidence. One of the things they learn. So there are lots of things that they learn by playing music, a lot more than just notes and scales.
All right. And then the persevering, and I had made my own note because I think that's, I'm just attacking my character right now as far as perseverance, because I feel like I tend to give up sometimes on things because I get frustrated. So I don't persevere and push through. So I'm making the leap and the assumption here that in playing an instrument, it can kind of be the same way.
Absolutely. At the beginning, yeah, it's mom and dad that say, practice. You know, you got to practice. And kids don't necessarily love to practice. They like to be able to play tunes that they know. After a while, it becomes kind of self-fulfilling that once they play more and they realize, oh, it sounds okay, and I can play, and it's fun being in band or orchestra to play with my friends, it starts reinforcing itself that way. But if you stick with it, good things happen, and that's an important thing for kids to learn.
Now, one of the students at Random Middle School in Denver said that a new instrument has helped me become more creative and has opened a door to music. So is this kind of like a different way or a new way for some to channel their energy? Because I feel like kids, especially, you know, with, you know, this population of age, I mean, it's just, okay, what do I do? And it kind of can channel them towards something else or energy.
When you play music, you actually hear music in a different way, too. And you appreciate music in a different way when you've learned what's involved in making those sounds, the right kind of sounds at the right time and performing with others. You'd never quite hear a band or an orchestra the same way because you know what it takes to make that music. And I think that might have been one of the thoughts that the kid had when they said that, you know, opened their a door to music, or they could hear it in a different way, they could appreciate it in a different way. We know these kids aren't all going to become pros. They're not. Some will, which is great if that's what they want to do. But they become good audiences. They become more appreciative about what they're hearing. Maybe it's what they're hearing on the radio. That doesn't sound the same way anymore. Once you've played an instrument and you know what's involved, you listen differently to all kinds of music.
All right. And yeah, because We just finished our pledge drive. Mm,
yeah.
And, you know, we talked about not just being a listener, but a listener member, because mm-hmm. then you hear things differently or you see things differently. So I like that. And there was a comment that's been made is, while it's called an instrument drive, instruments are really the means, not the ends. What the drive is truly about is transforming children's lives through music.
Absolutely. And it's true. It's not just what we say. It's what we hear from teachers and parents and kids as well, that it's made a difference in their lives. And that's why we keep doing it.
And over at Denver North High, music teacher Katie Lushman, she said that they have been able to start a modern band program and that the students love it. So, you know, because it's like it's very easy to say, okay, give us an instrument, give us money, but to hear what it actually does, because it sounds like new programs are being started as a result of people mm-hmm. donating instruments.
They're going to have another session, another group of kids in that modern band over at North, because so many kids enjoyed it. We gave them a lot of guitars. We gave them keyboards, some drum sets. So it's not all classical by any means, or what you traditionally may think of as orchestral or band music. It's all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the main thing is that the kids get into it, that they like it, that they want to play. And that's what's happening there and in other schools. We gave last year 684 instruments to 46 schools. Mm-hmm. Throughout Colorado as a result of the 2019 instrument drive. And we're hoping we do as well, if not better, this year.
And there's a call for different instruments. We've got band and orchestra instruments that are in good condition. So we won't turn them away if they're not up to par, or how does that work as well? What is the criteria? I think that's my big word I'm looking for.
We say gently used,
okay.
But people interpret that in different ways. For some people, it's spring cleaning, and that's not okay. really what we're after here. But for many people, it's giving an instrument that can be put back into great shape. Maybe it's there already, but not kindling wood, you know, please. that's tough. And we can't even afford to repair it. If it comes to the point where we'd be spending more to repair it than it would cost to buy a student instrument, we don't do it. We just can't do that. So if they're gently used, if they're in reasonably good condition, love to have them. Only things we can't take are baby grands, grand pianos, upright pianos, or organs. We just can't. Keyboards, electronic, great. There's a growing demand for those.
So anything, if I have a guitar, if I have brass, woodwinds, different mm-hmm. things like that,
yep.
that can be donated.
And strings of all kinds, yep.
Now, what if I'm a school and I want to participate in this program as far as I need help, then what do I do?
We have an online application. We invite all Title I schools and schools that may technically not be Title I, but have a large proportion of kids on free and reduced lunch. They can apply as well, because often kids that are maybe not in a Title I, but they're in another school and they don't have the means to rent or buy, they can feel even more marginalized because they're surrounded by kids that can't afford to. And we want to reach out to every child that has the desire and determination to play and give them a chance. So Title I, yes, absolutely. And even schools that have a large proportion of kids that are lower income, they should apply as well.
Okay. And then there is a board that reviews these applications?
Yep. We will look at everything that comes in. And we ask teachers about how many times you meet, how many kids in the class, what classes you teach, do you have a full-time music teacher, et cetera. Go through a bunch of criteria. And then we make decisions based on the answers to those questions, and then we try to match their needs with what we have. We won't know exactly what we have until probably May, early June, because we're in the process of repairing everything. But we invite schools to send, you can send an application in right now. That application form is on the website. And I should give the website, which is bringmusic.org. So www.bringmusic.org. And then just click on school application and you will find it.
and at bringmusic.org. If I'm listening, I can also look and see if there was a donation center in my area, if I'm in Lakewood, Denver, Fort Collins, other areas. Is that correct?
You can click on donations, and you'll see a list of all 17 of the locations all over the state, a lot of them in the greater metro area. Mm-hmm. But also have in Colorado Springs and Pueblo, on the Western Slope, too, over in Grand Junction.
Okay.
The other thing I'd like to mention is how important these donation locations are for us. These are music stores for the most part.
Okay.
And some of them have been with us from the very first drive. They're the people that greet you when you come in, that take in your instrument, that help you fill out the form, that hold it until we pick it up to take it to the repair shop. And these people are, they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're just, they've been with us. They're generous beyond words, and we appreciate it a lot. We have some new ones in Loveland. Didn't have that before, Loveland Academy of Music. There's one, Allegro Music, out at Parker, Rocky Mountain Music Service in Broomfield is new this year as well. So we've got a good bunch of folks helping us out.
Great. Well, Steve, I just want to say thank you so much for stopping by. Once again, that donation time frame is starting Monday, March 2nd, mm-hmm. and going until Sunday the 15th. And there, like I said, I will be putting up a link to your website on our website as part of this interview, so people can, you know, click on it and find out where they can either make a donation. Is there also going to be a link there as well if they can't, like what we talked about earlier, if they can't give an instrument but they want to give money, there's a place there as well they can...
There's a donate button. You could use PayPal and do it that way. We have our address there if you want to send a check. And know that all the money that's given will go to instrument repairs. I will guarantee you that. Okay. No trips to Cancun.
Steve's not going to be drinking a Mai Tai somewhere on the beach, no.
No, tempting, but no. Yes. not going to happen. So it will all go to instrument repairs.
And this is to fund the upcoming 2021 school year.
Right.
Okay, great. Well, Steve, thank you so much for stopping by, and best of luck on the drive.
Thank you.